Shalom Aleichem, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Samech Ches, Psachim 68b, pagination page 136. The Gemara here tells us that there's a special mitzvah to eat on certain days of the year. Let's start from the second half of the page. Go about midway on the page and drop down a few lines. The beginning of the line is V'chetzio lochem. Then there's a two dots, a parenthesis, and then we begin. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, HaKomodim ba'atzeres, everybody agrees on Shavuos de'vo'ina nami lochem, that there has to be a physical component. There has to be food and drink. My time, why? Yom she'nitna bo Torahi. It's the day that Torah was given. And therefore, there's an obligation to rejoice with food and drink to make it clear that we are happy, that it is a day of celebration. Imagine if, God forbid, people would be on the day of Shavuos depressed, as if to say, we wish we wouldn't have gotten Torah, we're very religious and loyal, but we're not happy that we got it. It's a very important, the correct observance of Shavuos is to do so with happiness. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, HaKol Modim v'Shabbos, everybody agrees regarding Shabbos, Debu'ina Nami Lochem, that you need a physical component, a joyous component to it. My time up, because it says in the Pasuk, V'karosa la'Shabbos oneg, you should declare for Shabbos an enjoyment. In fact, in davening, we use a very unusual, very powerful description. Am, a nation, medushne oneg, saturated with pleasure, with happiness, with joy. It's a day that's physically special. So they say a very interesting mashal, on a very simple level, of a prince who went to a faraway country for whatever reason, and on the day of his father's coronation, he wants to celebrate, but the people around him don't know from the king, and they don't know from celebrations and coronations. So what he does is, he orders drink and food in the local tavern, and invites all these simple people to the festivities. They're singing and dancing, hey, why not? Free food, free drink. And he is able to dance around with them in that joyous state, but he's celebrating the king's coronation. So they use that mashal as a concept that our physical bodies might not properly rejoice in Shabbos and the day of declaration that Hashem created the world. But if we can make the body happy, then the body together with the soul in the analogy being the prince who wants to rejoice for spiritual, great, lofty reasons, so they'll be able to rejoice together because you set the tone. However we understand it, but there is indeed this mitzvah. Mitzvah also has very practical ramifications. We know vikarasa, when you call Shabbos, oneg, there has to be enjoyment. And we know that Kiddush has to be Mamakam Su'uda. Kiddush has to be at the time when you're going to have the meal. And if you're not going to have the meal yet, so you certainly have to have some other food in order that Kiddush should be Mamakam Su'uda. It goes so far, take this one step further, there's an amazing tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach wondering how people can eat before davening on Shabbos without making Kiddush. Now, ideally, we don't eat at all. You don't eat before davening normally. You don't eat before Kiddush. But he said there are people who eat because they need it for health reasons. They can't last a whole davening without eating until 11, 12 o'clock, whatever it is and whatever their condition is, in terms of weakness and stamina. But he says, fine, but why don't they make Kiddush? And some Gedolim indeed held that if you have to eat for health reasons, so you have a heter to eat before davening, but you should make Kiddush. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a fascinating insight in which he says that the eating that's done before davening for health reasons is not oneg. It's not enjoyment eating. It's very l'shem shamayim health, just the minimum that I need. It's not oneg eating. And he says he could be malamed zuchus, whether he recommends it or not is a different story, but he says you could be malamed zuchus, you could understand the concept that that food is not oneg and therefore does not match up with Kiddush. But again, that's this pasuk, v'karasa la'Shabbos oneg, calling Shabbos an enjoyment. And what the Gemara wants to do with that very simply is to require a physical, enjoyable component to Shabbos. So far we have Shavuos and we have Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Hakol modim bePurim. Everybody agrees. Purim also needs a physical component, the Be'inanami Lachem, as lofty as you want to soar spiritually, but it does need a physical component. My timer, because the legislation was, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha K'siv Bei, days of feasting and festivity, and that's a mitzvah. The Mefarshim point out that this requirement by Purim to eat is an actual mitzvah in contrast to Chanukah, where eating is not intrinsically a mitzvah. The difference is that on Purim we're celebrating an attempt to kill our physical bodies. Haman wanted to kill Anoshim, Taf V'Noshim B'Yom Echad, wanted to kill men, women, and children on one day. He wanted to destroy their physicality. Made no difference to him whether they were religious or not. And therefore the celebration is a physical. You're supposed to go ahead and eat. That is a distinct component of the day. Whereas Chanukah, the eating is not a direct mitzvah. It's more of an indirect mitzvah. Because what was challenged was their spiritual nature, and had they been willing to convert, so to speak, to the Syrian Greek way of life, to Hellenize, so then they wouldn't have killed the Jews. It's only because the Jews wanted to maintain their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, the intrinsic celebration of Chanukah is not a physical one, but rather a spiritual one, to match the way they were challenged. The Gemara continues, Marbere de Ravina kulashata v'yoseh b'ta'anisa. Marbere de Ravina would fast regularly throughout the year. Levam mi'atzarto, except for Shavuos, as we said, there's a mitzvah to eat upuraya and Purim, umala yoma de Kippuri, and we get a third Yom Tif put in over here, that the day before Yom Kippur is also a day that we're obligated to eat. Skip a line at the end of the line. Ma le yoma de Kippuri, de tani chiyo bar rav midifti, v'inisim es nafshosechem betisha lachodesh. There's a pasuk in Parshas Emor that tells us that you should fast on the ninth day. It seems to be indicating that there's a fast on the ninth day of Tishrei. And the Gemara asks, "V'chibetisha misanin v'alo ba'asiri misanin?" The fast of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, is on the 10th day of the month, not the 9th. Ela lo malach, a fascinating limud. Kala ocha v'shosa betisha bo, anybody who eats and drinks on the 9th of the month, ma'alel avakosov, it's as if, ki'ilu misana tishii v'asiri, he fasted the 9th and the 10th, as if there's a commandment to fast on the 9th, so to speak. Really, the command on the 9th is to eat, but as if there was a command to fast both days. Fasting, presumably, is a greater challenge, and therefore a greater reward. And therefore, a person who eats on the 9th, as he's supposed to, fasts on the 10th, as he's supposed to, is given credit as if he fasted two consecutive days. The question that's discussed by the Mefarshim is, what is the focus and the greatness of eating on the day before Yom Kippur? So some say that it was the Torah's concern for us that we should eat properly in order that we could be healthy and concentrate on the 10th day on Yom Kippur. Others say that Yom Kippur ought to be a Yom Tif of sorts. You can't have a Yom Tif Suda on Yom Kippur, so we do it the day before. There's another fascinating approach, which is that a person who eats on one day and then immediately fasts on the next day, the fast is much harder because of the contrast. And what the Torah was saying over here is eat on the one day, then fast on the next day. As far as health goes, you'll be healthy because you ate, you're well hydrated, etc. But as far as pain, it's the ultimate ve'inisem, it's the ultimate moving away, withdrawing from physicality. The ultimate withdrawing of physicality is that you had it, and now you moved away from it very consciously on the 10th day. Question that some ask is, what would happen if you had a chola, a sick person who knows that he's not going to be fasting on the 10th day? Does he indeed have an obligation to eat on the 9th? And the answer, of course, is yes, he does have this mitzvah. Number one, we always try to be optimists. Maybe he'll regain his strength. Maybe things will change. He'll be able to fast on the 10th day if he can't fast totally, but maybe he'll be able to fast l'shiurim by taking very small amounts of food, which are not considered portions. It's definitely an obligation to eat on the 9th. Also, if the 9th is a concept of a Yom Tif, as opposed to the 10th, where you can't eat on the 10th, and therefore you're able to eat the 9th to celebrate the Yom Tov which is on the 10th, so then certainly that Yom Tov exists, even if he isn't fasting. Yashar Koach, have a wonderful day.